5.
Just tell me your name and your address.
Bernard Halpern, West Woodland Road. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
This is Eileen Lane, Oral History, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2, Side 2 interview with Bernard Halpern. January 10th. When I talked to you once before, we discussed some involvements of your father's in the Jewish community and his activities with regard to the early conception of the Federation. Could we go over some of that again, and his involvement as you knew it in the Jewish community?
I don't know what his involvement was with the conception of the Federation, but I know that in the late 30s, the early 40s, and then again in the late 40s, because I was away during the World War II years, he was active in the Federation. I guess he was on the board. He sponsored a dinner every year. I guess it was called the Mercantile Division Dinner. He would pay for it, and he would have several hundred people to that dinner, and that was a fundraising dinner. And he would make a speech, and I don't know if there were other speeches. I never attended one of those dinners, but during part of that time I was at Penn, and later in the late 40s, I guess maybe I did attend one of those dinners. I know that I was involved. I would help him prepare his speech.
Were other people doing similar things, hosting dinners?
Not that I know of.
This was his idea?
I guess, yeah.
Was this, how else did they fundraise at that time?
I'm sure that they had other dinners, but there was no perpetual host as in this case. He hosted a series of these dinners over a period of years, and he always held the Mercantile Division dinner.
And who was invited to this dinner?
All the merchants in town, and anybody he knew or anybody he did banking business with, because during the latter part of this period he was in the Washington Trust Company. But he would get to the dinner, I guess, some people even who were out of the Pittsburgh area, if they were customers.
And it was Israel-oriented, this dinner, or was it oriented towards raising funds for the local community?
No, I forget. I think it was Israel-oriented.
This was prior to the independence?
Although at that time, I guess... No, let's see, at that time there was just the Federation of Jewish Philanthropies. And I guess that was locally oriented. It may not have been Israel oriented.
What was his involvement with Israel? Do you remember at the time of...
I remember in 1948 he was very pleased. I also remember that shortly before that and shortly after that time, he gave money to the Irgun. He was somewhat disquieted about the labor government of Israel, even after it became a state. And he thought that the more conservative views of the Irgun were more in keeping with his ideas. He also thought that the Irgun, being more militant, was more likely to succeed in the struggle, say, in 46, 47 against the British. He thought that the whatever the quasi-government of the prospective Jewish state was, we're not going to win out against the British. He thought that the militancy of the Irgun was what was needed.
Was he involved? I know that there were Pittsburghers who were involved in raising money for arming.
I'm sure that he was involved, although I have no specific recollection.
And what about nationally? Was he involved nationally within?
No, he was not involved nationally that I can remember.
What about prior to the independence of the state, during time of the Holocaust? Did you discuss his feelings with him then? What were some of his feelings, as you recall them?
He was horrified. During most of that time, during the Holocaust, I was away from home. I was in the Marine Corps. Although I think in the late 30s, although I was away from home for most of that time, I would have occasional conversations with them. Because, let's say, the oppression of the Jews was a fact of life that was well known beginning around 1934-35.
What about his connections in terms of business dealings? He had European connections.
Yes.
Did they continue? What happened to
them?
Well,
those connections, for business purposes, had been severed in the late 20s. He no longer did any significant business in Germany after 1927-28. I don't know whether he maintained any correspondence with any of his former associates. He may have said that he didn't think that Augie or one of the other fellows that he knew were like these Nazis, but I'm not sure that he really knew.
What about your own feelings? What did you know at the time when you were at Penn, and what were...
I knew that Hitler and the Nazis were oppressing the Jews.
And did that lead you to any specific course of action?
No, I didn't.
Did that influence your service in the Army? In the Marine
Probably.
Corps?
Yes. Although if I had been specifically after the Germans, I probably would not have enlisted in the Marine Corps. I was looking for action, and I didn't care where it was.
Okay. Just to get back to your father, Julius Halpern, and the mercantile division and your mentioning of the Washington Trust Company, how was it that your father happened to enter banking business in Pittsburgh?
A man named McElderry had been probably the only president of the Washington Trust Company since its founding early in the 1900s. He died, and I believe it was in 1943. He was a bachelor. His heirs were nephews and nieces, a few of whom might have lived in Pittsburgh. Most of them were scattered all over the country. He owned about a third of the bank. The father had owned a few hundred shares in the bank, and he banked there. Charles Sachs was a charter shareholder, director, and counsel to the bank. He was also my father's lawyer. As I understand it, Mr. Sachs suggested to my father that he should buy the block of stock from the McElderry estate. And my father bought it as an investment without really intending to become active himself in the banking business. However, he was now the largest shareholder of the bank, and he'd been on the board of the bank. And he then saw the inner working of the bank, and he felt that the bank would be more profitable and that he could make a contribution to its operation. So he became active at first only as a director of the bank. Later, so after
this
he
is 44?
45 or so. He was named chairman of the board, a position that had not existed before that time, to give him a greater role within the bank and a title within the bank. And he began to spend more of his time there. When I returned from the service at the beginning of 1946, and I was thinking of practicing law, but he told me, no, you have to go into the toy business because I'm going to be spending practically all of my time at the bank. And I need you in the toy business, and I'll also put you on the board of the bank. You're a lawyer, and you may be able to help us. So from that time on, he was spent almost all of his time at the bank.
And were there other Jews in Pittsburgh who were involved in banking circles?
Not at that time. There had been Jews involved in banking earlier, but I think that most of them had been associated with banks which, for one reason or another, had closed in 1932, and I don't think none of them had returned to the banking business. The president of Washington Trust Company, who succeeded McIldowney, was Max Perlman, who was Jewish. And he continued as president after my father became chairman of the board.
What was his... did he have a specific philosophy vis-a-vis Jewish merchants or his role as a Jew in the banking business
in
Pittsburgh?
I think he felt more... He felt he had an entree to Jewish merchants. I would say that the small merchant class, which was the kind of a customer that the Washington Trust Company could deal with, was largely Jewish. But I don't think that he had a specific view of serving Jewish merchants only, because we had non-Jewish customers, the Washington Trust Company.
But many people that I've met often say, oh, because of Julius Halperin and the Washington Trust Company, we got our start. Was that unusual, or...?
No, I think that there were a significant number of people who he helped in that way, but... I don't know what his philosophy was. He would never discuss philosophy as such. I don't think he ever crystallized his thinking to that extent. He may have had a philosophy.
Was he a good banker?
He was a great banker.
In what way?
He was a great judge of human nature. He was a very penetrating, keen mind when it came to analyzing a business situation. He could steer clear of situations that looked hopeless. On the other hand, he was able to provide a lot of help to people who became his customers, make suggestions to them as to how they should operate their business, how they should improve the operation of their business. It was good. He brought to banking the background of a merchant and a manufacturer, which most bankers didn't have. And he was able to apply his experience and his knowledge in business in general to banking. He also was a very keen analyst of financial statements. He could look at statements and see whether the figures were doctored or whether they were real.
What about the location of the Washington Trust Company? Wasn't it in it was in the Lower Hill, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't that, at that point, a largely Jewish area?
Yeah, that time it was the wholesale district. Many wholesalers were in that area. It was a very lively area.
What about, how did the bank fare under him?
It succeeded very much.
What happened during the time of redevelopment? Because wasn't it
well, the
affected?
The hill, it certainly was affected. around 1950 or 51, as I recall it, the city authorities announced the creation of the Urban Redevelopment Authority, and one of its first undertakings was to be the redevelopment of the Lower Hill area. The building of the Civic Arena, tearing down of a lot of old houses, small buildings, the creation of what is now Chatham Center and the like. The Washington Trust Building, which was located I don't know what the name of that street is now, but it's not the broad avenue that leads from the Civic Arena and Chatham Center down to Fifth Avenue was Washington Street, or was a combination of Washington and some other streets.
Is that Center
now? No, but the bank was located on Fifth Avenue, directly across from what is now, what is still Hooper Street.
Okay.
The Washington Trust Building was in the area that was slated for taking by the Urban Redevelopment Authority. And the authority was supposed to begin its work in the early 50s. They never got around to the Washington Trust Building for 5 or 6 years. In the meantime, the building was a 6 or 8 story building. There were a lot of tenants in the upper floors, and as their leases expired, they didn't renew their leases, because they knew the building was coming down sooner or later. But the bank continued to prosper.
Did it move?
Well, we sold the bank in 1956. It was still at Washington and Fifth Avenue at that time. We sold the bank to M.A. Cancellier.
Which was what?
At that time, he was operating as the First National Bank in McKeesport.
Okay.
And he had been trying to get into the Pittsburgh market, and his purchase of the Washington Trust Company was his first entry into Pittsburgh. And he continued to operate in that building for a year or two.
Did your father stay on at the bank?
No, he left the bank.
And
for all practical purposes, he severed his relationship with the bank. He continued to have the bank's interest at heart, and particularly the interests of some of his former customers. And some of them, who felt that they weren't being treated as well under the new regime, would complain to him, and he would then try to intercede in their behalf with the bank.
Did they tend to be Jewish customers?
They tended to be Jewish customers, yeah. Now, you must understand that Cancellier put in charge of the bank a very prominent Pittsburgh Jew, Louis Reisenstein, who had never been in banking before.
Yeah.
In my judgment, Louis was not particularly effective as a banker, but he was a good name. And it certainly was a signal to the old customers of the bank that the bank intended to continue to do business as usual.
What was your father's attitude at the time? Was he pleased that Reisenstein...
He was pleased that Reisenstein was with the bank, yes.
But he retired from banking in 56.
In 56, yes.
And at that time, were there more Jews who were in the banking business in Pittsburgh?
No.
In savings and loans?
No. Not that I know.
Okay. And then how long was he out of the banking business?
5 years.
And then what happened?
Well, shortly before his 5-year non-compete agreement was up, he decided he wanted to go back in the banking business. By this time, he was 70 years old. And he decided that he didn't want to buy into a bank. He wanted to create a bank. He felt that getting into an established bank might mean inheriting some of its problems. He wanted to start with a clean slate. So he determined that he would get a charter for a bank. The first thing that he did was to talk to Mellon Bank, as the Washington Trust Company, and he had always had a good relationship with Mel and Beth. The Washington Trust Company had cleared through Mel. He also felt that Mellon exerted powerful influence in state government, and that if Mellon would have opposed his going back into the banking business, he would not have succeeded in getting a charter, and he would have been wasting his time. He got a green light from Mellon.
Why do you think that was?
I think Mellon had two reasons. One is Mellon was beginning to worry about antitrust provisions and its dominance in the Pittsburgh market, and they felt that it would be helpful to be able to show that anybody could go into the banking business if they wanted. The other thing is that I think that they respected him as a banker, and they felt that the bank that he would create could serve a role that they didn't care to serve, and that they would still have the benefit of his clearing with them, and that therefore the deposits that he attracted would rub off on them as their deposits.
With the kind of business that he would attract, was that essentially the kind of business that the Washington Trust Company had had?
That's what he thought, yes.
So what happened?
He applied for a charter. Cancellier entered opposition to the granting of the charter. Hearings were held by the Secretary of Banking of the state of Pennsylvania. And after those hearings, the Secretary granted the charter over the opposition of what was now, I guess, Western Pennsylvania Bank, National Bank. Western Pennsylvania filed a suit before the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania against the Secretary of Banking and against us, contesting the granting of the charter. There's no trial held on that. It's purely a legal decision as to whether the Secretary had exceeded his authority in granting the charter. And the case was heard by the Supreme Court, and they upheld the decision of the Secretary, confirmed the charter that had been granted for Commercial Bank and Trust Company.
Western Pennsylvania was essentially worried about the competition and stealing your old customers back?
I'm sure that's what they were worried about.
Okay, but Julius Halpern died before this bank came to fruition.
Yes. He had, even before we applied for the charter, bought the building, the old Arpanaut Stevenson building, which had been built around 1860 or 1870 at the corner of 8th and Penn. He bought that site, intending to put the bank there. When the charter was granted, even before the Supreme Court decision, the building was demolished, and plans were made for the erecting of a bank building on the site. Immediately after the Supreme Court decision, which I think came in March or April of 1962, we had started construction of the bank at the corner of 8th and Penn. Piles were being driven. That's as far as I guess there had been excavation. Piles were being driven, and in June of 1962, my father died. Nevertheless, the bank, the infant bank organization, continued to build the building.
And what was your role?
We opened in March of 63.
What was your role?
Well, I had been for this corporation that had been granted the charter, he was the president, I was a vice president. When he died, I was named president of the Commercial Bank and Trust Company. And
how long were you president of Commercial Bank and Trust Company?
Until 1965 or 1966. I had hired a man who had been a banker in Canton, Ohio, who wanted to be a bank president. He was a bank vice president. And I had hired him to be associated with the new bank long before we opened, and promised him that, although at the beginning his title would be executive vice president, within a few years after it became apparent that the Halpern name would continue to be associated in an active role with the bank and not merely in an inactive role, which the title chairman of the board denoted, that I would become chairman of the board and he would become president. And that's the way we did it. I guess in 65 or 66, I became chairman of the board. There hadn't been any before that time. He became president.
What did you think that the Halpern activity would do or ensure?
Well, my father's name had great currency in business circles, particularly Jewish business circles in Pittsburgh. And his record at the Washington Trust Company had been a very favorable one. And I think he was held in high regard. And we felt that that was going to help get business for the bank.
All right, so you've now been in the banking business, you personally, since 1962.
Well, the bank opened in 63. I've been involved with the creation of the bank since 1961.
Okay. Over this time period, which is now 20 years, how has banking changed? How has the Jewish activity, as you see it in banking, changed?
Banking has changed in that it has gone far more retail than it did before. There, many more people have bank accounts. There are many more branches of all banks. In the Washington Trust Company, we had customers from 100 miles, 150 miles away, who didn't find favorable opportunities in certain small town banks. We'd come to Pittsburgh to bank with the Washington Trust Company. That kind of situation hardly obtains anymore. Even in neighborhoods, there are more branches than there used to be, and people tend to bank where it's most convenient geographically. So a single bank institution like the Washington Trust Company would have had a hard time. It would have had to branch if it were to have continued in business. What is now Equibank still operates the office that used to be the Washington Trust office, and they call it the Washington Trust office. It's located across the street from where the Washington Trust office used to be. But that's a relatively small branch. That neighborhood, that lower Fifth Avenue wholesale district, has changed in character. It's no longer that active as a wholesale district. Wholesaling has spread to other parts of the city. Those are some of the changes in banking. As far as Jews in banking are concerned, there are more of them. There have been several Jews who have held pretty responsible positions, not top management, but middle management positions at Mellon Bank, which is a switch. Lester Hamburger is on the board of Pittsburgh National Bank. That's a new development. Relative, something that couldn't have existed back in the 50s or the 60s. Barry Deutsch is the director of marketing for the Mellon Bank. In Washington, Pennsylvania, there's a large bank that is owned by Louis Berkman and his family, First National Bank of Washington. Now, the Berkmans have always had some interest in banking in Steubenville. But there are more Jews in banking now than I think when there were 30 years ago.
And your own bank has changed significantly?
Well, my own bank is no longer a commercial bank and trust company. We're now First Seneca Bank. We've gone through two successive mergers, and we're in what was commercial bank and trust company is now part of a $600 million bank with executive offices in Oil City, and I'm vice chairman of the board of that bank.
Okay. Just what about...
And Lloyd Vaught is back to being executive vice president.
What about political involvement as it came through the bank? Firstly, for your father, you said that you alluded to it as to Mellon's role. Did your father become active in local politics?
No, he was never active in politics. He always had some relationships with an important politician. The leading politician in Pittsburgh throughout the 40s and the 50s was David Lawrence, who was served one or two terms as governor of the state, had been mayor of the city, was a member of the Democratic National Committee, and really a power in Democratic politics, both locally and nationally. David Lawrence had been a longtime customer and shareholder of the Washington Trust Company. The second largest shareholder in the Washington Trust Company, after the Halperins, had been the Harris family, the Harris Amusement family. John Harris was a director of the Washington Trust Company. Although in all the years that I was there, he never came to a meeting. But Harris was Catholic. The Harrises were founding shareholders of the Washington Trust Company. David Lawrence was Catholic. There was a close relationship there. Not just through the bank, but maybe through the bank. The father had a relationship with David Lawrence. And I remember in 1949, we had we called it the 50th anniversary of the J. Halperin Company. And we had remodeled our offices, which badly needed them. And we had an opening party. David Lawrence came to the party, made a speech,